Okay, we spoke about the idea of Oimer Davar B'Shem Oimrei, and we explained the concept of it, that it means giving credit behind the scenes to the one who's really deserves the credit. We showed how that relates to the whole redemption of the Jews at the time of Purim, was to bring Hashem back into the front and into the forefront, and to recognize that everything good that happens to us and everything not good is really Hashem's work, and there's no such thing as Him disappearing from our lives, and there's no such thing as us getting away from being involved in Hashem, with Hashem. But now I want to talk about the words of the sentence Oimer Davar B'Shem Oimrei, and show how literally every single word is important. There's not an extra word in the entire sentence, and everything in it points up to this idea that we said about giving credit and behind the scenes. So we'll start with the word Geula. We wanted to know what the word Geula means. Now you'll notice an interesting thing, that the word Geula is almost the same word as the word Gola. Gola means exile, Golos, so we use the word Golos. Really the word is Gola, to be in exile. And it's almost the same word as the word Geula, with one difference, that there's an Aleph. Now, why is this significant? So, like we explained, when did we go into Golos? When did the Jews as a nation go into Golos? We go into Golos and we turn away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We turn away from Hashem. We sort of put Him out of our lives. Who goes to Golos first? Not us. The Ribbono Shel Olam goes to Golos first. With that concept of Shechinta going into Golos, the Shechinta is in Golos. Meaning we kick Hashem out of our lives. We push Him out. We turn our face from Him. The Ribbono Shel Olam is very polite. He says, listen, you don't want me in your lives. I won't bother you. And He goes away. However, ultimately, of course, this turns out to be bad for us, because without Him in our lives, we have no protection, we have no guidance. And life gets worse and worse for us because we don't have the Ribbono Shel Olam taking care of us in the world. And to the point that eventually, when it reaches critical mass of Jews that have, so to speak, exiled Hashem from their lives, we lose our connection to Eretz Yisrael. It's not the first step, exile from Eretz Yisrael. Exile from Eretz Yisrael is almost the last step. It's when our whole schus and our whole claim to Eretz Yisrael is because this is Hashem's land and we're His people. But if we cease to be His people and we push Him out of our lives, so eventually we get pushed out of Eretz Yisrael because He doesn't protect us here anymore. He doesn't keep us, and He has no reason to keep us. So He throws us out. And that's, we talk about Golus as being the act of leaving Eretz Yisrael. It's really much more profound. It's pushing Hashem out of our lives and putting Him into Golus and ultimately ourselves into Golus. And that creates a situation, like we said, called Hester Panim, where we don't see Hashem face to face. He's not visible to us. Now, from all the letters in the Aleph Beis, there's a lot of letters that can be used to represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the one that represents it more than anything else is the letter Aleph. There's a lot of amazing Ramazim and amazing ideas behind it. I'll just give you a couple. First of all, the word Aleph itself literally means the one, the champion. Lashon Aluf, the Ribbono Shel Olam is called Alufo Shel Olam. He's the winner of the world. He's the champion of the world. Champion is called the Aluf because He's the one on top. He's the single greatest in any particular area. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Aluf of the entire world. He's the champion of the world. The way we push Him away is like the Pasuk says, Nirgin Mafrid Aluf, that a person who is continuously complaining and doesn't recognize the input of Hashem in his life, he sort of separates the Aleph from his life. So the letter Aleph, it also in its original format, was Gematria 26, like Shem Havayah, because an Aleph is made out of two Yuds, a Yud on top and a Yud on bottom, and a Vav in the middle, which is 26. And this is the idea, one place where we see that the letter Aleph is the letter of Hashem. So what happens is, we turn our faces away from Hashem, He turns Himself away from us, like we said. And now, we have gone from a situation of Geula, Geula means having Hashem in our lives and being connected to Him, to a situation of Gola, because the Aleph has now left, so to speak. And if you look at our relationship with Hashem, it is no longer one of Geula. The Aleph is now gone. It is now a relationship of Gola. Now, interestingly, now once we do tshuva, and once we turn ourselves back and bring Hashem back into our lives, the Aleph comes back in, and we are now back in a state of Geula instead of a state of Gola. And that's essentially what happens on Purim. Like we said, we had pushed Hashem out of our lives, and we had put ourselves into a state of Hester Panim, where we couldn't even face Hashem. We couldn't look. We weren't facing Hashem. We didn't see Him at all. And Mordechai and Esther taught us and taught the Jews how to bring Hashem back into the world and to put Him in the front, so we can see that He's really there. And as soon as that happened, the Gola was gone, and the Geula began. The redemption began. So that's Kola Oimra Dover B'Shem Oimra, like we said, which is the idea of giving credit to behind the scenes to that which we can't see, brings Geula La'olam, specifically Geula, because Geula is Gola, but with the Aleph restored to its correct place, to its proper place. It's that interesting to note that everybody knows. Just to show you this idea of the Aleph in one more place. Everybody knows that in Rosh Hashanah there's a meaning not to eat egois, not to eat nuts, because egois is gematria chet, is gematria of sin. But of course, anybody who stops and bothers to make the gematria realizes that it doesn't work, because egois is 17 and chet is 18. Right? So what's the pshat? Egois is not gematria chet. So I saw once, I think it was in the name of the Bnei Saschi, he says, no, egois is gematria chet without the Aleph. Which at first sounds like kind of a joke. How about if it would be gematria chet without the ches? Would that also work? You can't say that. The chet is spelled ches, tes, aleph. Ches is 8, tes is 9, aleph is 1, that's 18. So how do you tell me it's gematria egois? So I think the pshat's like this. Why is there a letter aleph in chet, bachlal? What's it doing there? You don't even hear it. When you pronounce the word chet, if you didn't know that it was spelled with an aleph, you wouldn't assume that there was an aleph there. You would say that it's ches tes, or you would say that it's ches tof. So what's the aleph doing there at all? Befrat, if you look in Svarim, the Bleib Saris and the Zechidah, they talk about that the letter ches and tes is, they're the letters of ra. I'll just, if you want to show it, just in the idea that in the Nachash, the snake, the middle letter is a ches, and the Satan, the middle letter is a tes, and those two together represent the idea of chet. It's not for now, there's much more to explain in this, but just to take that as a given, that those are the letters of ra. So what's the letter aleph doing there, bechlal, in the word chet? The answer is that it's not really part of the negative aspect of chet. The letter Aleph is in Chet, and it's at the end of the word Chet to tell us that even after a person is Chayta and he does a sin, he can always return himself to the Aleph. He can always go back to the Rabbanu Shalom that he had abandoned and he had left. By doing the sin, he can bring him back. Meaning that at the end of every sin, at the end of every Chet, he can do tshuva, he can bring Hashem back. In fact, there's a marvelous Zohar that says, the Zohar, that's an unbelievable thing, that when Adam Arishan was Chayta, the very first Chet, the very first sin ever, his name changed. Again, when we talk about names and letters and words, what we mean is that the Ruchnius concept of something is its name. It's the way that thing is put together in Shemayim. It doesn't mean the physical. Our physical body or existence is only a reflection and a manifestation of something greater that relates to the letters of the Aleph Beis. So the Zohar says that his name was Adam, and when he did a chet, the Aleph left his name. What does it mean the Aleph left? It took off. Suddenly his name became Dam. Now we understand why he became much more goofy, much more physical, much more of a basar v'dam, and why the punishment that he had to undergo relates to Dam, to Misa. The Aleph left his name. Why? Because the Aleph represents the Shechina. That's the part. There's three partners in a person. Right? The Aleph is the part that the Rabbanu Shalom supplies. That's the Neshama. When you do a Chet, the Neshama disappears. It takes off. This is brought down that Pachlal and Svarim is brought down that anytime a person does a Chet, the Neshama, the highest level of spirituality that we perceive normally, leaves. We still have we're still alive. We still have what's called a nefesh and a ruach, but the neshama, the highest part, disappears. That part doesn't get touched by chet. It can't be there while you're doing a chet. In fact, I want to say that if the neshama leaves, so what's left? The next highest level is called the ruach. That's why it says ein adam chayta elam kein nichnas by ruach shtus. That the ruach is what's left, and the ruach is compared to the highest level of neshama is shtus, is narishkeit, and that's why it allows for chet, because he's up to the level of ruach and no longer in the level of neshama. B'chalayfin, the neshama leaves, and it left Adam, and therefore his name became Dam. Now, an amazing thing, if you think about it, a person has these three partners in a person. This is his father, the Av, the mother, which is the Aim, and the Rabbanu Shalom. Av in Gematria, Aleph Beis is 3. Aim is Aleph Mem is 41. Together they're 44. That's the Gematria of the word Yeled. Yud Lamed Dalet. 44. It's also the Gematria of Dam, because that's the physical part of a person that's supplied by his parents. Where's the third shutuf? The third shutuf is the Rabbanu Shalom. That's the Aleph. He provides the Neshama. And he takes the Dam and he turns it into Adam. No longer Dam, now he's Adam. Now he's a person. When a person has the Rabbanu Shalom in his name, that means that in his life and in his existence, then he's Takan Adam. If he doesn't, so all he is Dam. What's the Gematria of Dam? Like we said, 44. It's an easy one. Dalad Mem. What's the Gematria of Gola, which means to be in Golas? Also 44. Because a person who's only Dam, who's a person without their Rabbanu Shalom, is essentially in a state of exile, in a state of Golas. If you add the Aleph to the person, it means that the person accepts Hashem back into his life. He accepts the Aleph back into his life. He's no longer just Dam. He's no longer just a physical creature. He's Adam. Lashon Adam Le'elyon, I'm going to become similar to Hashem. I'm going to become close to Hashem. And if you take the Aleph back into the Adam, so he's also no longer a situation of Gola, now he's in a situation of Geula. Because those two things reflect each other. So now we know what it means when we say that Egois, nuts, are Gematria Chet. And comes to Bnei Yisrael and says, it's Chet without the Aleph. What's he playing games? No, he's not playing games at all. What he's telling us is that Chet, in its essence, is something that doesn't have an Aleph. The Aleph is silent. The Aleph in Chet is good. It's what tells us that ultimately you're going to get back to the Rabbanu Shalom, you're going to do tshuva. And at that point, Chet is no longer in Gematria Egois. It's no longer 70, now it becomes 18, now it's Chai, because now the person's alive. When a person's sinning, he's considered to be dead, both in the conceptual way and the fact that his neshama is no longer fully with him, so he's half dead. When he comes back and brings the Aleph back, so now his neshama has come back to its place, and now he's fully alive, and now he's chai, and now he's 18 as alive. Okay, so now we understand the concept of geula and gola, which has to do with exiling Hashem from our lives, and then ourselves bringing it back is maybe geula la'olam. Now, it's an interesting thing, right? It says that that a person is, there's something called Hester Panim, right? We've been talking about Hester Panim. What is Panim specifically? So it says in the Svarim that on a person's face is the Shem Hashem. Where is the Shem Hashem in his face? It's his two eyes, each of which is considered like a Yud, a Dat, and his nose, which is like a Vav. So it's a Yud, Vav, Yud. Together that's Gematria Yud Ke Vav Ke, and that's 26. But more importantly, it's the letters that make up the letter Aleph. Yud, Vav, Yud. When we do a chet and we turn ourselves away from Hashem, it's specifically our panim, our face, that can no longer face Hashem. You know, when a person does something against someone else, he's like embarrassed, he can't look at him, he can't face him. Where does that come from? I can't face the person. The answer is, it comes from this concept that it's not just shame. Why is that shame reflected in looking down or looking away? You can't look at the person. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is on your face in the form of an aleph when he's with you. When you're chayta against him, you've exiled the aleph. Your face is no longer the face that can face Hashem. It's no longer a face that connects to Hashem. It's missing the aleph. It's missing the yudke vavke. It's missing the Ribbono Shel Olam on your face. And that's the idea of why the Kruvim, when Klal Yisrael was misbehaving, looked away from each other. It was no longer face to face. And that's the idea of the Hester Panim. That's the oimik of the idea of Hester Panim behind this, which is solved when we bring the aleph back and we go from a state of gola to a state of geula. Okay. This is the second part. It's been a little longer than I thought. So I'm going to stop here and we'll continue with the third part soon.